Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you live in the Kia Studios. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to big deal, small deal, no deal, back to the trending topics of the day at 1 o'clock as well. But joining us now, day three of SEC Media Days, live from Hoover, Alabama. My screen, oh, it worked, good. It wasn't working for a minute. It froze up on me. But you know what? We're good to go. Chris Goforth joining us from SEC Media Days. How are you, Chris?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
What's going on, Chris?
Doing great. Obviously, following along today and seeing that Nick Saban has arrived, and it seems like the circus is there as well. It just seems like it's a little bit of a different vibe when Saban shows up. Is that right?
No, it's different. I mean, this the whole thing gets kicked up a notch. I mean, it, you know, it doesn't matter what day it is. When you come to the Winfrey, into the lobby, there's going to be fans from every school that's represented. Yesterday, I would say there was probably, you know, 15 to 20, if not more, Georgia fans here to see Kirby Smart and his crew come through. You know, LSU has their people, but, you know, for years, Birmingham has kind of been the stronghold of Alabama football, especially within this state. You know, they used to play half their home games here at one time at Legion Field here in Birmingham. So this has always been very much a stronghold for Birmingham for Alabama rather within this state, and it shows itself every year during SEC Media Days when Alabama comes to town. And I don't know, I don't remember it always being this way, guys, to this extent. This has been something that has really started since Nick Saban came and since the winning returned. I remember when Saban, it was his first year, Tommy Tuberville was still coaching at Auburn, and Tuberville literally walked up and down Radio Row. There was probably, I don't know, 30 radio stations here that year. He walked up and down Radio Row. He did an interview with all 30 stations. I mean, he went and would talk to basically anybody that would talk to him. I think Tuberville knew from the get-go exactly what he was going to be up against with Nick Saban and the PR battle, the public relations tsunami that can ensue with Nick Saban. And so, yeah, like I say, I don't always remember it being this crazy until with Alabama before Nick Saban got here. I mean, I was listening to Chad Morris speak to the media in the main room, and there was probably a couple of hundred media people in there. They had the doors open, and you could hear the fans down in the lobby chanting Roll Tide while Chad Morris is talking about his Arkansas Razorbacks on the, you know, on the what you would consider to be the main stage here at Hoover.
So disrespectful.
I mean, that sucks.
So disrespectful.
I'm just trying to talk about Arkansas, yeah. Right?
Hey, Chris, of course, a lot of clips, a lot of quotes are coming out already. And I saw an interesting one about an hour ago from Dylan Moses, the outstanding linebacker down there in Alabama, saying that the hardest game they played last year was Georgia, and that basically what he's saying is that Clemson wasn't better than them. They just out-prepared for them, or whatever he said like that. How much traction has that gotten down there?
You know, Randy, it's kind of funny because when you're here, it's almost like you're kind of in a vacuum other than exactly what it is that you're working on and what you're seeing. So that's the first time I have heard that heard about that from Dylan Moses. But it does echo some of the other things that I've heard. It kind of echoes, maybe not quite that bluntly, but, you know, one of the things I heard Nick Saban talk about with, you know, he felt like they were, you know, they were out prepared. And that's, I know for him, for a guy who prides himself so much on preparation and for always being prepared, it was one of those things where for him to admit that, hey, maybe we weren't quite as ready to play Clemson as what we should have been, it was a big step forward for him.
Is that a tactic, though, too? Because with Saban, there's always like three or four or five layers to everything that he's saying. Don't you almost feel like maybe that's a way to, if it's at all possible, to try to instill something more in his players? I don't know if it's underdog mentality or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there is no doubt. I talked about this this morning with John and Hugh, and that when he rolls up in here every year, he's got an agenda. Now, sometimes his agenda may have something to do with the media. It was funny, a couple of years ago, he kind of got called down by SEC Commissioner Mike Slive during the offseason for kind of being a little surly and I guess having that reputation of being a little uncooperative towards the media. So he started every media session that year thanking the media for the job they do and for what they create, and that has continued every year since for Nick Saban. He always thanks the media for the job that that we do, I guess, promoting college football. But there's no doubt. I mean, he comes in here every year with something, some sort of an agenda, and you're exactly right. A lot of times he may be saying it. He may be speaking in generalities as far as we know, but I think it's very specific to what those guys are hearing in that locker room.
What was
what he wants them to hear?
What was the agenda this year, besides just the potential trying to be an underdog? What was his agenda that he was really trying to hammer home today?
You know, maybe the one thing that I heard him, and again, this is something that every coach has been asked about it. Every coach has addressed it. When talking about the transfer portal, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase it here, but he said the spirit is a positive thing for the players. The spirit of the transfer portal is a positive thing. He said the issue is we've gotten too liberal in giving people waivers, and when we do that, it becomes free agency, and that's not good for the sport. He said there were 65 waivers granted this year. He said he thinks it should be every transfer should have to sit out a year. He said that's the way it's been forever. He said, I don't understand why it should change now. If you want to transfer, that's fine, but you should have to sit out a year.
Wow. Nick speaking the truth. A name you said earlier was Arkansas coach Chad Morris, a rough year last year coming over from SMU. I think his quarterback transferred there this year. Ben, help me out with his name, Chris, the new quarterback over at Arkansas.
Yeah, Hicks.
Yes, thank you. Ben Hicks. Yeah, Ben Hicks comes over from, I mean, he was a hell of a player at SMU, played for Chad Morris. I mean, I think they were a top 25 recruiting class right now. They're trying to get that thing turned around. But what are the realistic options for them going into the 2019 season, knowing they're in that loaded West?
You know, I think the real challenge that he's facing, Randy, and we talked about this some last year, you know, going from that Brett Bielema-style offense, and it was those players have all been recruited by Brett Bielema to play more of a ground-and-pound style of offense. Now here comes Chad Morris. He wants to sling the ball around a little bit. They'll do a lot more zone stuff. He wants those slimmer, faster, more speedy offensive linemen in terms of what he's trying to build there around his offense. So it's not just a matter of trying to, you know, coach guys up necessarily. It's as much about trying to retool an offense as much as it is anything else. He said they played last year with 8 offensive linemen. They went out and signed 6 offensive linemen in their recruiting class this year because he said we knew, you know, we had to have the bodies, and not only did we have to have the bodies, had to have the right bodies in order to be able to do what they wanted to do.
Chris Goforth joining us live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. Day 3 of SEC Media Days today. Have you seen, and maybe it's hard to put it into historical context, I'm sure there's been other really difficult schedules, but have you seen in recent years a schedule as tough as what Texas A&M is going to have to do this year?
Yes, sir.
No. I mean, I think that's brutal. You know, you're talking about having to face the number 1, the number 2, and the number 3 teams in the country this year. In the preseason. I mean, I think, you know, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia in some combination will be the top 3, and they are all on that roster. I think South Carolina is going to have to face the same thing
this
year.
Yeah, so, true.
That schedule for Texas A&M, to me, that is what – that may be their undoing in terms of how good they can actually be. They may be much better this year than what their record is going to indicate. They're going to be really young defensively. Now, I think they got a lot of guys that have that potential tag on them. I think the ceiling's high, but you're talking about a lot of guys that are really, really inexperienced on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to need a break or two against that schedule to have the kind of success that a lot of people think they should be having right now.
I got a feeling, Chris, because I saw that, and I think they go to Clemson, they come to UGA, and they get Alabama at home. I think of those three teams, I think Jimbo and his Aggies might be able to pick off one of them.
I mean, it could happen. You know, I feel like Kellen Mond, Randy, right, has got the ability to be a star in this league,
right,
or this conference, but I think he's got to be a much, much bigger piece of their offense. He has got to be – everything now has to go through him. He's got to be that conduit through which everything else flows if Texas A&M is going to have that kind of success and be able to knock somebody off. And apparently somebody's shoplifting from the Belk here at the
– Get him, Chris. Go get him. Stop him. Vigilante justice.
Tommy Bahama shirts went on sale, Andy. You know how it is.
Go get somebody. Go get them, Chris.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate it as always, man. Great work this week. We'll chat with you again tomorrow as SEC Media Days wraps up. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Chris.
All right. See you guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.